Ruth Madeley, on first meeting you, you have a little rant with a big smile on your face, but a rant. Just tell me what just happened with your cab.
Oh, you put. I can get out of my wheelchair and I can take it apart and it goes in.
Goes in the car?
Goes in the car.
Yeah.
No problem. It fits in. It'll fit in my friend's Fiat 500. It's fine. It fits in. Trust me. But no, the driver was having none of it. He was like, you're going to, I don't want it to ruin my car. It's going to wreck my car.
Your wheelchair was going to wreck his car?
Oh, my God.
How?
I don't know. It's just exhausting, isn't it?
Do you get that all the time?
Yeah, it can be tough with when you're getting cabs everywhere. But yeah, part and parcel.
Yeah, I know you're used to it now, but I'm disgusted for friends of mine and my friend's little boy. He's cerebral palsy. Mm. He has to have a big wheelchair to go everywhere.
Yeah.
And the way she says, what's he going to do in the future? How's he going to get around? Mm-hmm. Public transport. How do you cope with all of that? Or you just don't these days?
I find it as horrible as it is. This is not bashing London because I love coming here, but the city is still
London's
really
worse.
Inaccessible. It depends what kind of day I'm having. Most days, you're so used to it, you just kind of crack on. But then there's some days when you're tired or you've got a really bad pain flare up and it just, any little thing could like send you into a rage. But yeah, I hope by the time your friend's little boy reaches adulthood, we will be in a better place, I pray, I hope.
But yeah, I mean, you've been doing a lot because you work with, before we've got to talk about Doctor Who, which is so exciting
because
it's gone out now. You've been working with WizKids for years. I mean, you actually physically worked with them.
Yeah, they bought me my first wheelchair when I was five.
Yeah.
So they were in my life from day one. They were always in my life, and I feel very privileged to have been a beneficiary, then one of their young board members, because they have a board of...
Yeah, but you were very young when you were.
Yeah, so I was like 12 when that happened, and then volunteer throughout college and uni, and then work for them for a very long time, nearly 10 years I worked for them. It's when I was acting as well, I carried on working for them, because I just didn't think acting was sustainable to pay my mortgage. So I kept working with them. And then after years and years came out, I was like, okay, I think I'm an actor now.
Is it true? There's a story that when I was doing my research on you, that said that it was them that said, okay, you can't work here anymore.
They were so sweet. It was my boss at the time, Esther. And she said, I just never saw a day when I wouldn't work for WizKids. And I said to her, because they were very, very lovely when I got the role on Years and Years, they gave me a sabbatical. So I said, don't get rid of my job. Don't pay me. Just don't get rid of my job and I'll see you in 6 months. And then when literally just as I finished Years and Years, I got a job on another show. And I said, can I just extend my sabbatical? And it was my boss then. They would never have turned around and said, oh, you can't work here anymore. She just said, Ruth, I think you're an actor now. And I'm going, no, jobs will dry up. But by that point, I'd worked on so much that I'd developed, a good body of work, and people just wanted to work with me more. And it was the right time to say, okay, yeah, this is what I do for a living now.
But I get the feeling with the way you're doing that with your eyes, you're sort of looking for, that you still can't quite believe.
Yeah, I was so terrified. I still can't believe that this is my... what I do for a living. it's crazy. I feel very, very, very blessed, very privileged to do this and do what I love. It feels like I'm doing a massive hobby and getting paid for it. It's great.
I get that. I completely understand that. But do you, so when you meet somebody and they say, if they don't know that you're an actor, and you say, what do you do? What do you say?
I go, I work in TV. Not cringe when I say I'm an actor, but even now it still doesn't sound believable, even now. But I like that, though. I really do. I like that response. It feels very grounded.
Yeah, and natural. Completely natural.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when, okay, so let, can we go back to getting your first wheelchair at five?
Yeah.
That, can you still remember that moment? That must have just been incredible.
I remember.
Life-changing.
The thing with WizKids is they want to give children a childhood. And if you think, I mean, the wheelchairs they're providing now are even more incredible. So they provide them for like 3-year-olds, 2-year-olds who are starting to toddle around. And they're like these little tiny, tiny wheelchairs where kids can just go and explore.
Oh, fantastic.
It's so great. And you think when babies start walking and getting into things, like disabled kids often don't get that. They don't get that ability to just go and get into trouble and get, you know, get into all the things that they shouldn't in the
pull
garden.
Things out
pull
of
things
places,
out of cupboards and everything. So when I first started school, I was in a wheelchair I had from the NHS. And back then, the NHS have definitely got better with their mobility provision. But at the time, it was like they came in small, medium and large. And I'm tiny. So small completely drowned me. It was too heavy. I couldn't push myself in it. And then
you were only little. Of course you couldn't.
Tiny. Yeah. So I had to rely on, I could never just go somewhere that I wanted, like in the playground. I
so
had
when
to
you
wait.
Were when you were 3 and 4, before you got your WizKids one?
Yeah, so I was 5 when I got WizKids one. So
right.
At 4, I just couldn't just go
so
where
you
I
had
wanted.
To ask somebody to help you all
the
time.
But I remember it was my dad. They went to it was a mobility roadshow where they have different equipment. They do them all every year and stuff all over the country. And my dad saw this particular wheelchair and it was bright Barbie pink. And he went, I'm going to go to the bank tomorrow and get a loan.
Oh.
And I'm going to buy that chair or I'll sell my kidney on the black market, whatever it takes. And then my dad thought it was a sales ploy. There was a WizKids rep there. And they went, oh, you can apply to us to get one and you won't have to pay. And my dad was like, OK, of course not. You know, clearly a scam. And it wasn't. And they'd started in 1990, so I think I was, and I got my wheelchair that year. So it was very, very, very new. Or 91 I got it or something. So they'd been running about a year, if that, by the time I'd got my wheelchair. So
I see why they're so important to you.
Yeah, and so now to be able to, but they don't just do the whole mobility provision thing. They really help young people develop life skills because, you know, at 16, you're getting a Saturday job, and that's not always possible for wheelchair users or kids with other disabilities. And so you kind of come to everything later, and you develop those skills later in life. And WizKids is all about helping you to develop those skills as early as possible and just do what you're meant to do and have fun as a kid and explore
that's
and live. And so, yeah, I feel very privileged to have been beneficiary, volunteer, employee, and now...
how wonderful.
Work with them.
And long may they do what they do then.
They're wonderful. They will always have my heart. I'm very, very, very proud to always be a WizKids family member, so... Yeah.
Also, it's really important, and I'm saying this, so not you, as it were. I think it's so important that, I mean, my beautiful little boy that I was talking about, he wants to see other kids like him on telly. He wants to see adults like him on telly. It's got to be more. And yet there's not enough.
There's not enough.
But apart from the fact that you're not on telly enough, but other people, other wheelchair users and other people with disabilities, it should be on telly more.
It should. And I'm an incurable optimist.
Good.
I am all about celebrating every little victory that happens. And we are in the industry much better than we were this time last year and even better than we were the year
you
before
feel that.
Yes. As well as being an incurable optimist, I am incredibly impatient and I want everything to change now. I would love to wake up tomorrow and see so many more disabled people on screen and behind the camera as well, because inclusion and representation
of course.
Is everywhere. It should be everywhere. It should be a 360 approach. But yeah, this time next year will be even better than we were now. So I am very excited to see where the industry goes, as long as we keep pushing. We don't just rest and say, oh, great, such bodies on TV, they're disabled, we've done it. No, it's not enough.
No, it's not enough.
We have to keep pushing and keep finding ways to make this industry more accessible for everyone to get into it for a start, because, you know, drama schools are still quite difficult. I didn't go to drama school, so I'm hearing that they're still quite notoriously difficult to get into if you're disabled. But also, once you're in the industry, we want to make sure that it's accessible once you get in. So that we want everyone to have a great experience, so that they just want to keep doing it.
But also, what's very interesting is that it's people in the streets, which we were saying just before we started recording, that extraordinary thing where people, because you're in a wheelchair, I mean, like I said, with my friends, and they're just, it's like they don't want to talk. Hello, does she want a cup of tea?
Speaking incredibly slowly and loudly.
Why is that?
I think, you know what, I still think there's a lot of fear surrounding disability. And
Fear.
I think not so much frightened of disability. I think people are frightened to say the wrong thing and offend.
Oh, right, okay.
And I think people, and because it's a huge knock, it's everything, isn't it? Because it's not seen on screen as much, people don't get to understand it as much. So, you know, so many people say that they've never met a disabled person. I was like, well, you probably have, you just don't realise it, because not all disabilities are visible. But people panic and think they have to act differently or act in a different way. So, and it is still, sadly, a lot of people just do see it as an absolute tragedy. And my life isn't.
That's a tragedy.
Yeah, as oh, poor you. I'm so sorry.
You get the head tilt.
Yeah, aww. I'm so sorry. But I think the more disabled people we have on screen, the more disabled stories we're telling as well.
Yeah.
The more people will get a different understanding of it and a better understanding of it and a more realistic understanding of disability.
So let's go to you. Now, you've mentioned years and years. We are going to mention Doctor Who. You know, the minute I say it, I can't believe it's 60 years old. But we're going to come to that. Let's talk about years and years. Wonderful Russell T. Davis, who I will fight over who loves him more.
He's just, I think it is impossible to not love him. Mm. I think anyone would struggle to not love that man. He is just the most generous, warm, welcoming, lovely man, both to work with, but also outside work. He's such a friend. Mm. And I think everybody needs a Russell in their life. I really do.
He's such a supportive man.
He really
so
is.
Many people, they'll quietly say, oh, you know Russell, he did this. Oh, Russell did. It's just lovely.
He is.
But Years and Years was incredible. I love that. So, I just mention it. Every time I say Years and Years, you get the biggest smile on your face.
It was the best experience. I just loved the whole thing. The audition process.
Oh, talk me through that.
Well, Rosie, the character I played, she wasn't written as a wheelchair user. She wasn't written as someone who had spina bifida. She was a character. And that was it. So I went for the audition and I was very thankful that the team wanted to see me again. And after my second audition, they asked me to come aboard, which was just wonderful. And it was then that Russell rang my agent and said, can I have Ruth's number? I want to chat with her. I still, at that point, thought, oh, how nice. They've made a mistake and he wants to let me down himself
the phone. Oh, no.
And he was like, it wasn't that at all. It was just, now, darling, you know what he's like, darling. I want to make this character authentic, so tell me what to do. It was very much a case of he knew that he'd never written a character with spina bifida before, so it was a massive collaboration on how she would move. He said, just move whatever way you feel comfortable. And if for anyone who watched Years and Years, there's a lot going on in that show.
Oh,
so
yes.
I think my character being a wheelchair user was kind of low on the drama scale. So it was just really fun to play a character where...
I don't think it was... No, I don't understand what you mean.
So it didn't matter.
It.
Yes, it didn't matter. So
oh,
she could
I'm
have
with
been...
You.
So
right,
there was
okay.
So much going on that it was almost just an extra thing. Oh, yeah, by the way, she's a wheelchair user.
Yeah,
it was just
I'm with
an
you.
Extra,
right, okay.
And it wouldn't have made a difference to the overall story of the world burning around us. It wouldn't have made a difference if she'd been deaf, blind, had a limb difference, it would not have made difference to the story at all, or her character, because her character was a bit of a mess.
Yeah,
she was
yeah.
a nightmare. She was funny. She was ballsy. She was all of these things. She was a mum. She was unlucky in love. And then just on the side of that, oh, and she's a wheelchair user.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm completely
so it
with
was
you.
Just it was it. The whole experience of creating that character authentically was felt like a real benchmark for me. And then when we found out who the rest of the cast was going to be, that was just another incredible experience. And then to top everything off, we filmed in Manchester. I was at home for 6 months. That never happens to me, ever.
That was at the top of your... Yes, six okay, Russell, I'll months. Take it. I'm around the corner from home.
Everyone, every job I'm on, I'm always the one going home at weekend, going, I have to rush for this train. Friday when we finished, everyone was rushing to get the train back to London. I'm like, I'm going home. I'll be home in 20 minutes.
Smug face.
It was. I celebrated that much that I got a puppy. That was how excited I was.
You got a puppy because of that?
Because I was home.
What? Tell me about your puppy.
He's a British bulldog and he's beautiful.
What's his name?
Buford.
Buford?
Buford. Little...
Where's Buford?
My boyfriend used to watch Smokey and the Bandit with his parents as a kid. And there's a sheriff that looks like a bulldog chewing a wasp, and he was called Buford T. Justice. So
do you give him his full name, though, your dog?
He's Buford Puppy Lawrence. That is his full name.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. And he is... he came with me for my costume fittings, the works. Everyone loved him.
And you got him because of years and years.
I just got so excited. I was like, right, well, I'm home. We can get a puppy.
I loved that show. You know what, though? I found it so frightening.
Terrifying.
I remember talking to Russell about it then and interviewing him about it. But just saying, I wonder what it's going to be in a few years. Oh,
it was
hello.
A few months. Not a few years. It was months.
I mean, it was just ridiculous. How
I
does
said,
he
you
know?
You cannot write anything else until I'm over this because my nerves can't take it. It was crazy. Like it went out in the March of 2019, and a year later we were in COVID.
It's just extraordinary. How did he know?
I don't know. He's a very terrifying man.
He is.
Mind.
Let's take it back. Let's not say all those nice things that we said.
It's all his fault.
It's this his fault. We're blaming him
now.
So everything that happens in Doctor Who, in the future, just watch out.
Aliens, the lot.
The whole
aliens
thing.
Aliens everywhere.
And David Tennant always popping up all over. Actually,
why
I'm very
not?
Happy for that.
Me too. I'd be very happy with that.
David Tennant can pop up anywhere.
Anywhere.
Yeah, we're happy for that. Okay, we have to... years and years, it's on streamers, so people can still watch it. And if anybody hasn't seen it, just watch it, because it's more terrifying now after the events than it was before the events, because we thought, will that ever happen?
Yeah, when we were filming it, we were like, oh, this is mad, isn't it? Oh, can you imagine? And then literally it got closer and closer to... because it was still out and people were still talking about it.
Yeah.
And then we were getting closer to like this new really nasty virus called COVID. And we were like, oh my gosh, it's terrifying.
It is bizarre.
Yeah.
And also the other thing I found that was really stuck with me is the filter, walking around with the filter on.
I know.
And we're so close to that
so
now.
Close. That of everything is what frightens me the most.
Oh, me too. 100%. Isn't that weird? That was me too.
I don't like it.
For young, I've got teenage daughters.
Mm.
One of them isn't a teenager anymore, but the teenager, I just sit and worry. That does concern me.
Because it's such a wonderful tool, you know, all of these things, but it also has another side to it where it's just absolutely terrifying. Mm. And yeah, if I think about it too much, it just sends me a bit loopy.
I mean, obviously, because all all the actors and the writers and musicians talking about AI as well.
Oh, God, so I know exactly that. Yeah. It's just we always go too far, don't we, with things, humans? I always think we go too far.
Do you?
Yeah, with certain things. Yeah, yeah. Just have a minute. Have a minute, and take a breath.
I love that. Yeah, I'm all for that.
Have a minute.
Take a breath.
Just, yeah.
But we can't when it comes to Doctor Who.
No.
Oh,
no.
My word. So it's been out. Last weekend, everybody saw it. Everybody is buzzing about it beforehand. As I said, 60th anniversary. So we can talk a little bit about it now because there were no spoiler alerts everywhere. And I was doing interviews with all sorts of people. We had lovely Lenny on this podcast.
I love him so much. What an absolute genius.
And his mum and dad
and
brother.
Oh, they're the best, aren't they?
What a lovely family.
Gorgeous family.
Just brilliant. And he was more excited about the fact that he was going to be in Doctor Who than anything else. Please tell me you slightly feel the same, because there's something, Doctor Who. It's Doctor Who.
To be part of something with such a legacy,
yeah,
such huge reach and impact, and such a massive part of history for our industry, I just feel so. It is a bit of a pinch me moment to think that that is one of the roles I've been blessed with completely. I feel so a bit overwhelmed with it, actually, but in a wonderful way.
Yeah, good overwhelmed. Yeah, overwhelmed can be good. Yeah,
definitely.
I get that.
Yeah, definitely just a lot of pinch me moments.
So, okay, let's take you back to secretly getting it and filming it. Talk me through all of that. Did you tell Joe? Is it Joe? Is your partner?
Yeah, Joe.
So did you tell Joe, or did you just not? Because everyone.
Well, this was like the biggest thing that I'd had to stay quiet about in my career. So I was like, can I tell Joe where I'm going? I'm going to go and film, but I can't tell you what I'm filming. Joe knew, obviously. But
did he know any of the story? Did you?
No.
You didn't?
No. Well, he's never been a massive Whovian. So he wasn't like badgering me for details. He was really excited. He knew like tiny tidbits of things that I was just overly excited about. But no, he didn't know the plot at all. He just knew I was going to do it. And we knew it was such a privilege. Really exciting time.
I've got a friend who's in it. I don't want to be showbiz, I mentioned her, but she's in it, and she didn't tell me, and then suddenly there it was. And I'm like, you didn't
see? No, you're gonna have to tell me who it is now.
Bonnie. Oh, lovely Bonnie.
I adore her.
Yeah, well, the feeling is mutual, I must say. But it's so lovely, and it's just she just said it's just been the most wonderful experience, because everybody is so thrilled to be there, and it's. And I personally, I have to say, I'm so pleased that David is back. And I'm really looking forward to Shooty. I really am. I mean, I think he's a fantastic actor, and I love the way they're taking Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really pleased that David's back. It sort of felt, no, it didn't feel unfinished. I just think we wanted more.
I don't think we'll ever get to a point where we don't want more of David Tennant, will we? I don't think we'll ever get.
Is this the David Tennant appreciation podcast?
I think it might be. Yeah. This is, I can feel.
Should we rename
the tide
it?
Is turning. I can feel that's where we're going. But I think that for me was such a massive moment.
Did you know when you came on board,
mm-hmm.
did you know anything about your storyline? Did you know about David Tennant and Catherine? You knew about Shooty?
No.
Oh,
no, didn't
know. That's that long
nothing.
Ago you got the part?
Yeah.
Oh!
We filmed it last year. It was honestly, there was such, even when you got the job, you couldn't know anything. So it was.
What do you mean? You didn't know where you were going.
So we didn't know.
Did they give you a script?
They give them you late up, you know, they give them you when they can. They don't give you anything before you.
You're kidding. I was joking. You're really.
So when I found out Russell was going back, I messaged him and I said, you are going to be brilliant. Have the best time. He was like, are you coming, darling? I said, I will make the tea if you want me to. And he was the sweetest man. You know what he's like? He was like, just give me a year to get my feet back under the table and figure out what I'm doing. 3 weeks later, he was like, so I've written you into it.
And I was like, I've just got goosebumps.
I know.
You're kidding me.
I was like, oh my goodness. And it was really important for Russell. We spoke a lot about it for him to give Doctor Who the disability representation that it deserved and that the fans deserve. And the fact that he wanted me to do that was very, I think I cried buckets when he called me. But when he said that, I didn't know that David was going back. I didn't know.
Were one of the first signings then? Because I mean, you were announced very early on.
I wasn't.
Weren't you?
No, I, well, yes, but Christmas Day last year, I was announced.
Yes,
when my little face.
Yeah, that's nearly a year ago.
But and I keep forgetting what time of year it is. Is that and the other? But we'd filmed it like months before that.
Oh, I'm so, with you. Right. Okay,
so it was.
Okay.
It's, the process is very, very long. And then when we'd finished it, we filmed it last summer. And then I was like, oh, it's coming out. They were all like, oh, it's coming out in November. I was like, oh, that's exciting. Not long to wait. They went, no, November 23. I went, oh, I have to stay quiet for that long.
So how does it feel now it's gone out?
Oh, I'm just so happy. I'm so relieved I can speak about it. I think that's the most exciting thing, because she is such a wonderful character. And there's just so many wonderful things that Russell's written in there that I know so many wheelchair users will be so excited about. I've wanted to scream about it from the rooftops for over 18 months. So it's really exciting to now have Shirley-Ann Bingham out in the world and be able to tell everyone a little bit more about her.
So the first episode is out there, mm-hmm. and we've all seen it. But what we want to do is we don't want any spoilers, because
no.
people might be watching it on iPlayer,
yes,
and on Disney on catch up.
Yes.
So we can't do that. We can just get a little insight. So give us that little nugget that doesn't give too much away.
So being able to do scenes with David was one of my biggest joys, and having Shirley introduced into the Hooniverse, that's the first scene, just her and David. So that for me felt really, really special, and what a glorious way to be introduced into the Hooniverse was just having that scene with me and David. I won't give away. There's some really cool stuff, but I'm not going to say too much, because if you've not watched it yet, you'll really enjoy some of the exciting things that Shirley has up her sleeve. So,
and you're in it for a long while.
I don't know whether I can say.
Well,
but
you gave it away a little bit by saying that you started filming the year before, and then you finished in the summer, and then so I think you're in it for. That's not it, is it?
No, it's not just.
That's not just the first.
Everyone's looking at me in the screen going, what can I say? What can I not? No. So,
it's not over after
stay
one
tuned.
Episode. Okay.
You will not be left wanting. There you go.
Do you know, isn't it funny? It's really weird. There are certain things that you, and I know everybody says it about Doctor Who, but when I was a child, my dad was obsessed with Doctor Who. So we always watched it every Saturday. But I did have my hands over my face. I mean, I was terrified. Never of the Daleks. I was not scared. Never scared of the Daleks.
Isn't it funny that? Because I was talking to my other half, Joe. His dad said he was absolutely terrified as a child. He would never watch it because he wouldn't be able to sleep. I was like, really?
Yeah, but there were a few. My younger daughter, there was the weeping angels.
Mm.
Terrified of them.
I mean, it is, when you look back and see some of them, you're like, oh my goodness me. I mean,
they
kids
were
watch
scary.
This.
But as I was saying, it's like, I don't want to know. There are certain things you don't want to know. I don't want to know what's happening next. I didn't want to know before the first episode what was happening. I don't want to know who's out of Strictly. It's things like that.
Yeah,
I just don't want to
just
know.
Just want the surprise.
There was a rumour that you were going into Strictly, wasn't there?
Oh, so, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of talk on online about how there'd never been a wheelchair user
yes.
on
so
Strictly.
Was it true? Did they ask you? Are you
no,
going to do
no, no, no. I mean,
would you do it?
I don't know whether I'd do it. I mean, I'd feel very I mean, keeping quiet about Doctor Who is pressure. Strictly is like,
oh, so maybe you are doing it next year.
Again, who knows? No, it's I mean it's a wonderful show. I mean,
but there were rumors. It was a whole thing that it was you or Sophie.
Sophie, yeah, I mean Sophie would be just so much so glorious.
Sorry, right? Sophie now out by the white in the White House. Sophie Morgan.
I know Sophie
about.
Morgan. I'm actually quite surprised that she still speaks to me. I was like, please don't ever get bored of me and too big that you don't return my calls. But I know I'm a big fan of hers, and she should if it's something that is asked and somebody wants to do it, then there should be someone who's a wheelchair user on. Why not?
My lovely friend Simon, his favourite thing, he's in a wheelchair all the time, his favourite thing is dancing. Loves it.
Amazing.
He loves to swing me around.
Oh, it's too great, isn't it? It's just great. I mean, I don't think my dancing is ballroom-esque. Well, we'll wait and see.
I think you've been asking, you're just not telling me. Okay. You are a complete and utter joy. Thank you for being on Reasons
so
to Be Joyful.
So are you. I'm so happy.
But you're so, no,
I'm so,
so
happy to be here. Honestly.
I'm calling Russell. She's fantastic. thank you very much.
Thank you.